I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into this world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord.
Christmas story, there were tough times in the Christmas story. Can you think with me the tough times? Do you think it was tough for the wise men to travel up to 2 years to get to Bethlehem to find the manger scene or to find the boy in the home there? Was that a tough travel? That was a long travel. It would be through weather and through fierce weather and all of that. There were tough times there. There were tough times. It's amazing to think about the timeline. It's very possible that the wise men left the Orient before Mary was given birth by the Holy Ghost to have a baby. You know what I'm saying? The timeline there. Think about it. It was 2 years and her 9 months. And God, some, you know, that was exciting to catch the timeline there. Just think of Mary and Joseph being unmarried with a baby, huh? Being pregnant. They had to go through a lot. And there was tough times there. Are y'all married? No, we're not. Where's this child? This child's from God. Right. Also, she was great with child and had to travel 90 miles from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She didn't have a Cadillac with all of the... No, she might have rode a donkey. She might have walked. And 90 miles there. There was rejection. There was no room in the inn. A humble stable. And you say that. Let's all turn to Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18. There was pain at in the Christmas story. There is pain here. Not only just the pain of her giving birth, but what Herod did. Nobody usually reads this part of the Christmas story. This is terrible. Dan, come up and read it for us, please. Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 to 18.
I'll start in 12. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed for their own country another way. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, "Arise, take your young child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him." When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was written by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry, and he sent forth and put to death all the male children who were born, who were in Bethlehem, and all its districts, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had determined from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "A voice was heard in Ramah, lamentations, weeping, and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children, refusing to be comforted because they are no more."
Here we see that great sorrow here during this Christmas story, where he killed all the babies, and it was prophesied there that it was to be done in 15. Note in verse 15, look in your footnotes where it was prophesied from. Where was it prophesied from in verse 15? Hosea what? 11:1. It was prophesied. God had it planned. And also the prophecy in verse 17 and 18. "And Ramah shall be great lament." Where is this prophesied from? Verse 18. Where is it prophesied from? Jeremiah 31:15. God allowed us tough times and struggle and just down times, depression, discouragement to come during the Christmas season. Do you know, in our regular Christmas time, there it's not so merry all the time? Huh? You like that picture? There's someone in your family that greets you during Christmas, and you're forced to spend time with them. Yeah. You know, there's people. You know, your children get presents, and they don't like them. And here we're spoiled terribly in America, are we not? And you know, they gripe and complain. Or you have sicknesses during the holidays. The Joe Duddy family has a death here during the holidays. And you have financial stress. You have emotional stress. The families with the broken family today some people have to go to 4, 5, 6 Christmas parties, and there's stress there and tension because of divorce and all of that. Is that right? And just a mess. There is stress during this time. Do you know one of the highest level of stress time is after the holidays, after Christmas? Very stressful time because it wasn't fulfilling. You know, I didn't get what I wanted. You know, they bought me a tie. It's something, and you have there's stress, and there is times of dejection, confusion, frustration, sadness, hopelessness, anxiety, anger, darkness, despair is all around us, and we say, "Wow, this is not so merry." How do we handle this? Psalm 42. Everybody turn there. Psalm 42. It's one of the great psalms in the Bible. John Piper says it's the psalm that summarized all of the psalms. And it gives the theme of all of the psalms. I'm going to give that in a moment. I want us to read Psalm 42. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to talk about it, give an overview. And then I want you to close your eyes, and I'm going to read it from another translation. And I just want you to catch it, because this is a very emotional psalm. Let's look at it. Psalm 42. As the hearth, the deer, panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul. This is a soul emotional psalm. After thee, O God, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. I love that. When shall I come and appear before him? When shall I stand before him? When will I be in his presence? I feel I'm away from it. Verse 3, my tears have been my meat day and night. He's crying all the time while they continually, they, his enemy, his people, taunting him, they continually say to me, where is your God? Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I have gone with the multitude and went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and with a multitude that kept holy day. Verse 5 and verse 11 are the same verses. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted, discouraged, sad within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance, his countenance, his presence. O my God, my soul is cast down, discouraged within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan to the Hermonites, to the Mount Hermon, to the hills of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? And with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Same as verse 3. Then it ends, verse 11, like verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him, and who is the health of my countenance? He's my Savior and my God. Look at the beginning of this psalm. Every psalm, some of them have an introduction statement of it. Look at it on this one. It says, Psalm 42, it says, to the chief musician. Do you think this psalm was to be sung? Yeah, this was one of the hymns, and then it says Maschil, and that word is in Hebrew, and they do not know what that word means. It has some connection with possibly some instruction or training, and so it says training for the sons of Korah. Sons of Korah in 2 Chronicles 20 verse 19 were the musicians, the singers, the worship leaders of the priest. And so this is a psalm that is for the worship leaders and to train them, to instruct them. And it's a neat psalm here. And it's very... Note that the psalm ends. Look at verse 11. Why art thou cast down? Then it says, hope thou in God. Then it says, for I shall yet... Note that he's still discouraged. He's still down. He's still struggling at the end of the psalm. So many times we like it all to have a happy ending. He's still struggling at the end. Is it all right to struggle? That's when you get real close to God. The last point I'm going to make is powerful this morning to how to handle this. We have these issues. Here we see the outline of the Psalm 42 in verses 3 and 10. Look at it. This is the external taunting. There's external taunting going on in verse 3 and verse 10. It just says this, my tears have been my meat day and night, and my enemies, the ones after me, say continually, where's your God? You know, things are going wrong all around him, and the people making fun of him for being a Christian, and says, where's your God now? You're in some bad times, you're struggling, you're down, you're discouraged. Where's your God now? They're taunting him. And then the second point is inner turmoil. He had external taunting, now he has internal turmoil. Verse 5, it says, my soul is cast down. My soul is discouraged. And my soul is disquieted. My heart is sad. And so there's inner turmoil going on. There's external taunting by unbelievers around him and gainsayers. And then there's turmoil within. He's having trouble. He's discouraged. He's down. And he says, my. Verse number 3 is, I love this one. I want you to really get this one. Number 3, it says, one's soul fighting for a personal, trust me, I'm near response from God. I want you to really look at that. I want you to think, because that's the theme of the psalm. John Piper says it's the theme of the whole book of Psalms. Is that this man is fighting. His soul is fighting for a personal statement from God of, trust me, I'm near. I know you can't see me. I know there's external taunting going on. There's internal turmoil going on. But trust me, I'm God. Look at verse 5. These like if you have the first stanza is verses 1 to 4, and then it's like the chorus in verse 5, and then 6 to 10 is the second chorus, the second stanza, and in verse 11 is the same chorus, because verse 5 and verse 11 are the same. And let's look at verse 11. He says this. He says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why am I discouraged? Why am I so fat, so sad? Hope thou in God. His only answer is, I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. I am looking for him. I am not interested in deliverance. No, he doesn't ask for deliverance. He doesn't ask for things to be happy and all successful and prosperous and all that. He says, I want you. You know, if I still have my cancer, if I still have my troubles, if I still have my discouragement, if I have to put up with this person in my family every Christmas, you know what I'm saying? I don't worry about all of that. If I just have you near me, That's all he wanted. That's all he wanted, to grasp that. The song that Ron Lee played for the offertory, put it up next. It says, "And when my daily deeds ordinarily lose life and song." This is a great song. Got to think. Your daily walk with God, it's lost its luster. It's lost its song. My heart begins to bleed. Sensitivity to Him is gone. You don't hear from God. You don't have that nearness of God, that place where God is with you. I've run the race, but I've set my own pace. It's become my religion, not God's relationship. My face is a shattered soul. My soul has no answers. My soul is empty. Now the gentle arms of Jesus warm my hunger to behold. I'm finding Jesus again. Oh, I want to know you more. Deep within my soul, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. To feel. Is the Psalms all about feeling? It is. It's emotional. I want to know that I can trust you even in the terrible times, even if nothing changes and it's bad and they're still taunting me and I'm still in turmoil. All I'm really wanting to know is your promises and that you're near. And I love this. It says, looking to feel your heart and know your mind, looking to your eyes, into God's eyes, stirs up within me cries that says, I want to know you. Oh, I want to know you. And I would give my final breath to know you in your death and resurrection. Oh, I want to know you more. Psalm 42. Let's go there. Psalm 42. Six ways to get up when you're down. Huh? Six ways to get up when you're down. I'm going to look at the psalm here not from the chronological order. The author that I was looking at said that he was looking at it from how he felt in real relationship with God and his problems. He's down. How do I get up? And he put them in order that he felt that would help us most. Verse 9. Look at verse 9. He asked the question, why? Is it all right to ask God why? Note that I said, is it all right to ask whom why? God. So many times we gripe and complain, why is this and complain why? No, you're asking God. Verse 9. I will say to God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? In times of despair and discouragement and down and holiday blues, do you feel that God's forgotten you? You feel that way. And it's good to go to God and ask Him. The psalmist went straight. He was real. God, I don't feel you today. You know, I have this big problem. I have this issue in my life, my finances, my family, my soul. God, where are you? Is it good to ask that? You're, is that right? You don't just stand still. You know, why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemies? You know, verse 11, why art thou cast down, my soul? Why art thou disquieted, sad within me? It's all right to ask God why. Keep searching. Keep in the book. Keep noticing that it's all right. You know, God is with me. I feel this way, but I can ask Him why. And He's going to talk to me. I'm reaching up to Him and say, God, I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't understand what you're doing. God, help me. You're asking Him why. And it's all right. That's the first step of getting up when you're down. The second step is to affirm God's sovereign love for you. To affirm that and to realize that you still love me. Look at verse 8. Verse 8, it says this, "Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the nighttime His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life, unto the one who gives me life." That's I affirm that He's sovereign and that He loves me. I don't understand why sometimes, and I don't like it. But He's still God, and He loves me, and He's in charge. He's sovereign. That's powerful there. Verse 5b, it says, "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance, His presence to me." You know, and it says, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior, my God. Same in verse 11, to realize that. In verse 7, it says, "Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy," catch the word thy, God, "water spouts, all thy waves and thy billows are going over me." He's feeling like he's about to drown. All of the taunting and the turmoil is over his head, and he reminds himself that it's God's doing it. You know, God is sovereign. And if God didn't want me to have this struggle, I wouldn't have it. He to affirm. It's all right to say, "God, why?" And then secondly, you must affirm that God is sovereign, loves you. And to affirm God's sovereign love for you, it is so important to realize, God, You brought these over. This is the stabilizing factor in a boat, especially a sailboat. There is the ballast, and the ballast has weights in the bottom of it. And when the wind blows in a sailboat, you don't see that thing on the bottom underneath the boat. And when the winds blow, that ballast keeps it all what? Keeps it all stable. It won't go over. And that's the ballast. That's the weight. That's the stabilizing factor of your life. That's what affirming God's sovereign love for you does. You might not get an answer to why, but you can get an answer to the Almighty, the Creator, loves you. He's got a plan for you. Hold on to Him. Trust Him. He's near. And you have that sweet response from Him. You're crying out, but then you get that sweet affirmation back from Him. Thirdly, I love this. Sing to the Lord in the night season, in the sleepless nights. How can you sing in the night when you're all messed up, huh? Now notice, he still has all of his struggles, all of his problems, all of his stress, all of his discouragement. But somehow a song comes to him in the night. Do you have that song? Hope you have that. You know, I have turmoil. And at night you can just roll it through your mind over and over and over. Is that right? But if you allow a song to come in, "It is well with my soul." Is that right? "When peace like a river attendeth my soul." When bellows, I don't understand. Whatever may be, I know it is well with my soul. And you have a song. He had a song in the night, in those sleepless nights. Somehow deep within him, a song came out. And that is just so neat. Verse 8b, it says, "In the night his song shall be with me." I can sing. Do you know you can't sing if you're unhappy? But if you start singing even though the trial is still with you, the taunting and the turmoil is all around you, can you grab a song? Yes, you can. And that's once you've affirmed that the sovereign God loves you, even in the midst of all the whys, you can sing His truth. You got to have a song in the night. That's just powerful. Number four, this is a great one here. Number four, don't listen to yourself. Preach truth to yourself. 11. Either you're going to listen to 11A or you're going to listen to 11B. when you listen to yourself. Usually when you're talking to yourself in stress or in discouragement or in turmoil, your self-talk is usually what? Pity party. Why is my soul cast down? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? Or you jump in there and you don't listen to yourself. You preach to the self. You catch the difference? One is your flesh is talking to you and pulling you down. Is that right? The other is you are letting God's truth be preached to yourself. And you preach it to yourself. Your self-talk. Is your self-talk very important? It is, isn't it? How you view what's going on. Since my mother's not here, I can talk about her. She taught me to always choose to think the best of your situation. Is that pretty good? That's helped me immensely. All that is what we're talking about. Why, God? I believe that the Sovereign Almighty loves me. And I don't understand it all. In the midst of my stress and my struggle in the night, a song pops in my heart. And then through the day when my flesh is trying to get me to worry and to gripe and to complain and to go down, I refuse. And I get up. The key is not how many times you get up or that you never fall. The key is how quickly you get back up. And if you listen to yourself griping and complaining and pity and oh me, you're going to go what direction? But if you let God's truth and you preach it to your flesh and you preach it to your old nature and you repeat it and say it and read it till it comes alive, you can come up. And it says, don't listen to yourself. Preach truth to yourself. You know, verse 11, I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again. Right now I'm not doing His praises. Right now I'm still struggling. Why is this the theme of my life right now? But there's going to be a time in the future I don't have to stay down. And when I'm down, I can still look up. And my situation may not change. There are problems in life that situation doesn't change, huh? Doesn't change. Each of us have been there. Some of us are there right now. But you can look up. And you don't have to listen to all your griping and complaining and your pity party. You can say, God, Your truth says for me to trust You even though I can't see You. Your truth says You will never leave me nor forsake me. Your truth says that with God all things are possible. See, Your truth. Now my flesh says, let's quit. I can't stand it anymore. But God says, hey, my God shall supply all your needs. Is that right? That's preaching truth to yourself instead of letting self talk to you. Listening to self. Very important to catch that. I hope teenagers and children, parents, you need to tell your children, is life choices? Do you choose to be sad? Do you choose to be depressed, discouraged, down? You know, it's a choice. I get there. I get there. I do. But I try not to stay there too long. Very important. Talk to your children. Talk to teens. This is very important. Fifth one is verse 4. Which one is verse 4? Remind yourself of past God times. Verse 4, you got to listen to verse 4. He's in the midst of his soul being depressed and discouraged, and then he remembers. Verse 4, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. Let me read it from the New Living, it says, verse 4, "My heart is breaking as I remember how it used to be." Catch this. He's talking about past God times. "I walked among the crowds of worshipers." This is the sons of Korah. These are the worship leaders. I used to walk, and as they walked up to Jerusalem and up to the temple, they sang at each steps as they walked up, and they had a whole chorus of, they did this psalm here and this psalm here and this psalm here and this psalm here, and they praised God. "I used to walk up the steps with the group of worshipers praising God. I've stopped doing it. I'm down. But there was a time I did walk and talk with God and serve God and get excited about God." It says, "I walked among the crowds of worshipers leading a great procession to the house of God, singing with joy and giving thanks amidst the sound of great celebration." There was a time when I read my Bible and it came alive. There was a time when I taught the Bible to a Sunday school class or whatever, and God came alive. There was a time when people were touched, when prayers were answered. It doesn't happen all the time, but you better remember the times it does. I have in my office a lot of rocks, a lot of stuff on my desk in here and on my bookshelves, and they all remind me, most of them remind me of a God time. A time that I saw God do something in and around where I was. And those are exciting times. And we must remind ourselves of the God times in our lives, of when God showed up and when God worked there. I was talking to one of our fellows. He's not here this morning. They're traveling. But I sat here Thursday night talking to him, and he reminded me that he got saved in that room back there about 20 years ago, in that room right back there. Huh? I said, wow. I remember one of the guys that used to come, Al Stallsworth, if y'all know Al. I visited him down in Tennessee at his church, and he took me to the place on the steps, and he says, "I got saved right here." You need to go back sometimes. You need to remind yourself of when God showed up, when there was a God time, when there was a thrill, to remind yourself, "I used to walk with God. I used to really pray. I used to really witness. I used to really care. I used to really help. I used to really teach. I used to really study my Bible. But I'm down." And reminding you of when God did talk to you brings you up. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. Sixthly and lastly is thirsting. Catch this. Thirst for God's sweet nearness more than deliverance, happiness, health, or the good life. I want you to think about that. That's when your soul is thirsty for God. This is verses 1 and 2. We're going to close with singing as the deer panteth. Huh? Verse 1 and 2, it says, "As the deer longs for streams of water, so I long, my soul longs for God. Oh, thirst for God, the living God." Wow, to be thirsty. You ever been thirsty? I have a problem right now. I have to watch my sugar, and that means I have to quit drinking. For y'all visitors, I am an avid advertisement of Simply Orange. Is it pretty good? I got to stop drinking it. Isn't it terrible? I got to start drinking water. To be thirsty. I love drinking Simply Orange. Let me tell you how much I love drinking Simply Orange. Mr. Bowers, when there was a cup up here, it was always Simply Orange. When I drink Simply Orange, I don't know much about wine drinking, but when I drink Simply Orange, all I can get out of it, huh? All I can get out of it. Oh, I can get it for 30 seconds. Oh, all the taste buds are going to town. Woo! Now, I like it high pulp. Anybody with me? High pulp, high pulp. Oh, I love high pulp. Oh, just like sinking your teeth into a raw orange. You ever been that thirsty for God? See, that's what He wants. He wants you to really want Him. Do you know the only time you're really going to want God is when you are down, when you are struggling, when you are wanting, "Where are you, God?" Is that right? You know, "Why am I so cast down? Oh, my soul, you know, why am I so sad? Why am I so discouraged? Where are you, God?" The last one is the most important one here. Number six is because you are thirsting for God. That is the best and the most helpful point, is that you want to see God. I want God's presence. Here he doesn't pray for deliverance. Catch this whole psalm. Did he ever pray, "Lord, take these enemies away. They're taunting me. They make me feel bad. Please take them away." He doesn't pray that. He doesn't pray, "Lord, I cry all night. Give me peace so I don't have to cry all night." He's not praying that. "Lord, give me happiness. I'm discouraged. I'm down. Give me health." He doesn't pray that. You know, "Give me the good life. I'm just struggling all over the place." In this psalm, he's struggling everywhere. He does not pray for relief or deliverance or the good life. He prays for the sweet nearness of God, His presence. Because if you have the presence of God and you have cancer, you're all right. If you die and you have the sweet presence of God, you're all right. If you lose everything like Job, is that right? It's all right. You know, I don't understand. God, you know, verse 11, verse 5 are the key verses. It's the wise, and then I'm going to trust God. I'm going to thirst for God. My soul, I have external people taunting me, internal. I have turmoil all the time, but I'm going to trust God. I'm going to find and hear God say, "Trust me, I'm near." And the sweetness of that, the sweet nearness of God to your soul. That's how you get up when you're down. And you say, "God, help me there." As the deer longs for streams of water, so my soul longs for you. Just you. Just you. Nothing else. I don't want deliverance or the good life. I thirst for God, the living God. I can handle all of this torment and taunting, and I can handle discouragement and sadness and sorrow and it not going right. I can handle all that if your sweetness is near me, your presence, your "trust me, I'm near." Thirsting for God. I want you more than gold or silver. Only you can satisfy. Do you believe that? Only you. That's what we're talking about. You alone are the real joy giver. And the apple, is that right? The highest joy of my life. We were put on this earth to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. That's what gets you up when you're down. All the other stuff just keeps you down. That's why the holidays never satisfy. Hyped, is that right? Hyped, but never quite get there. You're going to go to work tomorrow. There's going to be discouraged people all around you. You need to open your Bible to Psalm 42 and read it to them. Talk to them. Talk to them. Because there's a lot of discouraged people after the holidays. It just wasn't what it claimed to be.